Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tristan Riddell.
I'm Matt Hansen.
And you're listening to the Nerd Party.
Talk nerdy to me.
Welcome to Nerd Party.
Well, today we are talking about cons. That's right, conventions. And comic book conventions, movie conventions, anime conventions, whatever type of convention that you can think of. And it's not just myself and Matt today. It is a trio today, and we have a fantastic guest, and that is Chris Sanders. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing fantastic, especially since you're on the show. Chris, you and I go way back. We went to college together. We were in the same circle of friends. We are friends. We're friends now. We follow each other. And Chris, you have a very successful YouTube channel, and if you do not subscribe to him on YouTube right now, you should stop and go, well, stop after you listen to this podcast and go subscribe to him. Where can we find you on YouTube?
Okay, so there's if you type in Chris Sanders, I apparently pop up now as a thing. So just Chris Sanders on YouTube. It's pretty easy.
I notice a theme in most of the stuff that you talk about. So what are some of the things that you talk about? Because we're all about the nerd cred on this party.
So Pokemon is my big thing. That's the thing that kind of broke me in. But I try to do a little bit of everything in the nerd, like, lexicon. So, like, I try to cover conventions, Pokemon, anime, motivation. That's probably the biggest thing that's, like, gets the most relevancy is that, I try to do nerd, it's a series called, Nerd Motivation, where I try to talk to nerds about the fact that, like, right now things might be a little bit weird, might be a little bit awkward, but still stay yourself, stay the course, and eventually it will work out. And you don't need to, like, follow the, like, typical nerd tropes of we're all, like, you know, like, losers who can't get girls. It's not a thing. It's not true. And you can prove that wrong pretty easily, so.
Yeah, absolutely. See, that's the thing is that, you know, like, just perusing your channel just a little bit, and I try to go to it when I can, it's very positive. And that's one thing that when Matt and I started this podcast, you know, Matt, isn't that something that we said we wanted to do, is that we wanted to stay positive?
Yes, definitely. That was one of the founding goals of this podcast.
Matt and I have listened to so many podcasts and so many YouTube shows and so many things of that nature or of that medium. And all they do is just rag on the latest movie, rag on the latest TV show, the latest comic, the latest cartoon. And it's always just so negative. And yeah, we make fun of stuff here and there, but it's much more positive to stay positive. And so I just really appreciate that about your channel.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way, actually. Like, I always try my best, like I have rants on occasion, but I try to stay as positive as possible about things, because I feel like literally, I feel like, I don't know, for some reason negativity sells really well. Mm-hmm. But I think if you can, like, stay, like, I don't know, be that voice of, like, well, this thing could still be good, there's good reasons for all this stuff, blah blah, blah. Like when the Ninja Turtle movies, it was happening, the whole, like, up heave of it. I made a video about the top reasons why this won't be the worst Ninja Turtle thing to ever happen, because there's been a lot of Ninja Turtle crap in the past. And so I try to be very positive about it. And then, like, I saw the trailer and I wasn't happy about the trailer. But then I saw the movie and I loved the movie. Other people were like, oh, that's kind of... I loved it. I would watch it, like, every single day if I could. But just trying to stay, like, on that course of, like, there's a good side to almost everything. It's like, is an awesome way to look at things. It makes you happier, and people tend to, like, be drawn to that more anyway.
Well, speaking of the good side of everything, how about we move into the good side of cons, the good things about conventions? And Matt, how many conventions have you been to?
I've been to three. All three were Star Trek conventions since 2012. So I've been to the 2012 Vegas one, the 2013 Vegas one, and most recently the 2014 Vegas one.
And I've just been to two. I've been to a Star Trek one in Rosemont a couple of years ago, and then I went to Comic-Con in Rosemont just a couple of weeks ago. Now, Chris, how many conventions have you been to?
Roughly 32.
See, okay, that is why I am so excited to have you on this podcast, because we were talking about how we wanted to do a convention podcast. Mm-hmm. You and I started talking, and we both agreed, wow, you need to be on this show.
Yeah.
And I said, next thing we're talking about is conventions, and you're like, yeah, that makes sense. And yeah, obviously it does, because you've been to 32. What different, like, is there a majority, like, are they all mix and match? Is there a majority of certain type of conventions you've been to?
It's a good mix and match. I've been to C2E2. I've been to Wizard World, which is the Rosemont one you went to. I've been to a BronyCon for My Little Pony nice. Fans. I've been to PAX, which is like the big one for the Penny Arcade fans, if you know what that is. I've been to Anime Midwest. It's a good mix, a little bit of everything. I haven't been to a lot of, how you put this, other than My Little Pony one, like a very specific niche con, I've been to like pretty much all the general purpose ones that like work for everything.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, fantastic. Well, obviously, we have a convention expert here, considering you've been to 32 cons, and Matt and I are still in the minor leagues, but but Matt, I'd love to know, what is your... Because you and I have talked about going to a convention together a lot, and we tried to this year, but it just didn't work out because I...
Going to a convention slash kidnapping you and forcing you to go to Vegas.
I know. I mean, I wanted to go to Vegas so bad, but the money dried up in that particular fund, and it went towards Hawaii instead of a convention. And so I think my wife is glad that I didn't go to the convention and that I went to Hawaii instead with her. So
yes, you're I'm still married.
So Matt, what would what is one of your favorite things about conventions?
For me, it's the people, because especially with the Star Trek Vegas convention, I've run into more than a few familiar faces each year. And really, when it's something like that, it's really like a big, well, not high school reunion, because high school sucked, but you know, it's the same kind of idea. You're getting back together with a group of people you haven't seen for a year, and you basically, you know, the convention's fun and all, but it's really the hanging out part that's really the best part.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd have to agree. Is that there's so many things about conventions. Like I talk to so many people, and there's always the news crews there. You know, there's always the reporters and everything like that, and they come up and say, you know, like, oh, hey, you know, are you pretty excited to meet all your heroes, meet all these actors, or meet all these illustrators, or everything like that? And most of the time, yeah, they'll say yes, because that's what the newscasters want to hear. But the main reason why we go to conventions is for each other. That's why we go, is to meet up with our friends and geek out. Chris, what do you think?
I completely agree. It's literally, I always say this, like, it's about the culture. I didn't go to Wizard World this year because I feel like that one is the one where you, like, you pay like the money to go and like meet people and shake hands, and like I'm less about that and more about like literally like even the whole, there's like a hotel over there in Rosemont where literally I went to a convention one year and I didn't go to the actual convention. I stayed in the hotel and just hung out with people, and it was like the best like weekend I ever had in my life, because it's just everyone's so friendly, and you have people that they get your jokes. It's like, you know, everyday life, you make your nerd jokes, and people are like, "Ha, what's that from?" Like, but people just get it in, like, immediately. It's like you are in your zone, you're with your people, and it just feels good. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's the one time you don't feel bad making a reference to something obscure, because most of the people will get it.
Mm-hmm. And they don't just get it, though. They overly get it. Like, they'll do it, and then they'll laugh at it for, like, 20 minutes.
And then they'll continue with the joke. And it's so fantastic because, like, I'll be at work, and I'll forget where I am. Mm-hmm. And I'll drop a joke like that, and everybody just gives me a blank stare. And I'm like, man, if I was surrounded by nerds, they would just be rolling on the floor right now.
Yep, exactly. Yep, same here. Like, it happens all the time. Actually, I took my girlfriend with me to the last con I went to, because I want her to see like what I mean, how like it's like kind of like my Disney World. So I had her come to it, and she sat there, and she's like nerd light. She's big into Harry Potter. That's her like, you know, nerd drug of choice. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, this is literally the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, you guys just totally get each other, and like some of you have never met until today, and that's how great it is.
It's seriously like, you know, there's one thing about conventions. It's definitely not a good thing. It definitely would go into the bad category, and that's waiting in line. But while you're waiting in line, you meet all these fantastic people, because you're all there for the same reason. You're all there to nerd out, geek out, meet some great people, meet some stars, meet some fellow geeks, buy some overpriced memorabilia. We're all there. And so it's so easy to strike up a conversation, where if you're at a bar or at school or, you know, at another type of event or something like that, it's a little bit harder to strike a conversation, because you're like, well, what are we going to talk about? Well, if you're at a convention, you're like, let's talk about My Little Pony. Let's talk about Star Trek. Let's talk about DC. Let's talk about Marvel. It's so easy.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're already guaranteed to have one thing in common with everybody else. So that's always a starting point for a conversation.
And if you don't, I feel like you were like a really like open to even like letting you join those conversations. Like, I learned how to play Magic the Gathering, because we were in a line, and the line was just so ridiculous. And there was, like, everybody pulled out their cards and go, I'm just standing by myself. And I go, like, hey, do you want to play? I'm like, I don't know how. And I go, we have time. I'll teach. And I learned how to play in line. And I was like, my thing, I always bring my game. That's a, like, this is probably a tip I'll give people. Bring a Game Boy or some, like, mobile thing that's, like, social, so you can, like, do something while you're in those lines. It's, like, probably, like, the smartest thing anyone ever told me. Because now I don't, like, dread getting in line, because at least I'm doing something.
Yeah, like, and don't just play on your phone. Do something where you can interact with others. I mean, now it's a little bit different because we all have our smartphones. But yeah, I like that. Like, bring something social, something where you can interact with other people. I was just having this conversation with my wife. She's a English and drama teacher and also a director. Her first class has left her, like, from freshman year to senior year, and now they're going off to college. And she's seeing all these posts online and in conversation where they're like, oh, you know, I don't have anybody to talk to. I don't have any friends here yet, so I'm just going to stay home and not go to the dining hall. I'm just going to eat by myself. And my wife just wants to, you know, scream at them and say, like, how do you think you're going to make friends? You have to be out there. You have to go out there. You have to be social. And it's hard for folks, especially when you don't have that common bond. But I feel like with nerds, when we're in a nerd setting, it is so easy to make friends because we're surrounded by such great people. With conventions, I mean, things can go good, things can go bad, but I feel like I have much better experiences than I do bad experiences. And so, Matt, I'd love to hear what's one of your favorite experiences at a convention? Now, it doesn't have to be your absolute favorite, because I hate asking that question because everybody's like, oh, no, I can't just pick one. Pick me one of your top 10 favorite moments at a con.
I'll save my absolute favorite moment for later because I have several, but I know what my absolute favorite is. But the first one that I'll share is last year at the convention, the 2013 convention. I was hanging with actually your co-host, your other co-host, Tristan. Charlene and Lori were in one of the bars in the hotel. And they were about to do a trivia contest, a Star Trek trivia contest. Now, Tristan, you've known me for about 2 years now. And so you know that I'm pretty much a walking, talking Trek encyclopedia.
That's right.
And I was half in the bag at the time because Charlene kept giving me drinks and I wasn't going to turn them down. But they wanted me to see me do this contest and see if I would win. So they give me the piece of paper and I'm seriously like half in the bag. And I just start writing. And I win. I get my picture taken with Larry Nemechek and the Mission Log podcast guys. And yeah, that was fun to be hauled up in front of the bar half drunk and flash the Vulcan salute like a gang symbol.
I remember that story. You guys were telling me about that after the fact, about how you got drunk and still won the Star Trek trivia contest. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it helped, actually.
Ah, again, maybe loosened up your little inhibitions, like, oh, I don't know if it's Tarkus 5, maybe it's Tarkus 6. Oh, hell, I'll just go with Tarkus 6. All right, Chris, Sanders, same question.
So I was at VidCon, which is like the YouTube convention.
Right.
And so I went to that, and I'm literally walking just like in the corridor of the hotel, just going to another like panel or something. And I see the Nostalgia Critic, which if you know who that is, his real name is Doug Walker. And he is like one of my like heroes.
He's hilarious.
He's hilarious. So I just see him, right? I didn't know he was gonna be there. I didn't see him on like the list or anything. He just happened to be there. So I'm just walking past and I like freak out, but I didn't want to do that like fangirl thing where I like chase him around like, oh my god, it's Doug Walker! Ah! I didn't want to like freak out on him. So I just go, I see him, and as we cross paths, I go, Doug Walker, like that. And he, like, stops and looks at me, and I go, hey, what's up, man? Blah, blah, blah. We just start talking. Like, I just, like, try to be as, like, casual as possible. And when I'm having this, like, 20-minute conversation, it was awesome. And then my friend Ricky, who is also, he's a YouTuber, and I see Ricky as I'm, like, talking to Doug Walker, and I go, Ricky. He goes, what? And he comes over. He freaks out. He does what I didn't do. And he just starts freaking out. And then we go on taking pictures, and these other people come around, and they're like, they don't know who he is. So it's really an organic hangout experience. And then he invites us to come hang out at his hotel later, and his room at the hotel later, his own hotel. And we wound up having like the absolute like best night hanging out with the Nostalgia Critic and Likara and all these guys from his like network. This happened because I didn't like freak out about this. And it was amazing. Because I feel like had I like freaked out, he would have been like really weirded out, would have shook my hand, give me an autograph, and walked away. So it was just a really like awesome experience. So now like apparently he lived in Illinois. So he's like, yeah, if you ever want to like come in, like, you know, we need extra sometimes with like some of the stuff they do on the channel. So he invited me to come do that. I haven't done it yet. But I'm just like, this is amazing. Like, I'm hanging out with a guy that I like technically idolize.
That story reminds me of a story of mine. It's not a convention memory, but it's that time when I almost fangirled and freaked out or fanboyed or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And I was working the Super Bowl. I used to work in football. And I was at the Super Bowl. I was at the lower level. And I'm in an elevator with all of my equipment. And I'm going up. And then all of a sudden the doors open. And it's Calista Flockhart and Harrison Ford. And whoa, they just walk into the elevator. And I don't freak out that much because I've worked with celebrities in the past just because of what I do. But if anybody would make me freak out, it would be Harrison Ford. And so I didn't, like, everybody asked me, like, what did you say? I was like, I knew that if I opened my mouth, everything would just fly out. And so I just, one friend of mine asked me a question. He said, he's like, everybody said, like, oh, what did he look like? Was he nice? Blah, blah, blah. But one friend asked me, he said, what did he smell like? And I said, Wookie fur and bullwhip salve. That's what I said. And it's just, but like, it's seriously, it's those interactions where we have that freak out. And you mentioned, like, it's so great that you didn't mention a mainstream celebrity. You didn't mention a mainstream illustrator, artist, or anything like that, or a musician. You mentioned someone who does what we do and does it successfully. Is there anybody else in the YouTube or Twitter realm or Vimeo or anything like that realm that you would like to meet at a convention?
Yeah, honestly, everybody that I like really want to meet in that realm, I pretty much like came in contact with. There's some new people. William Haynes, I hung out with him before he got hired on SourceFed, which is a Phil DeFranco's channel on YouTube. And I was like excited about meeting him. Yeah, I think there's anybody. Honestly, I feel like I've met most of them, but I think that maybe this is like a very fringe thing. She runs a blog called So Yeah Duh.
I know that. Yeah,
I wanna meet that girl. I don't know her name, but I wanna meet her because I feel like we like hit it off really well and be like really awesome friends. Like I can just see it. Like it just like you know how like you like look at people on YouTube and like Vimeo and such, and you can just kind of tell when they're your kind of person.
Yeah,
and, like, I feel like she's one of those people that I could totally like hang out with, and it would just be amazing.
So. Yeah, there's a few people like that where I'm like, we need to be friends. Matt, is there an interaction that you haven't had yet that you're like, you know what, I need to meet this person at a convention?
I don't know if there would be any people that come to the conventions that I normally go to, but there's definitely a few YouTube personalities out there that I'd like to meet. There's another internet reviewer, Jeremy Johns. I love him on YouTube. He's hilarious. The people from the Schmoes podcast, I love that podcast as well. Really, I mean, any one of the podcasters that I'm on my own network with, which is the Trekmate Network. I mean, I've met a few of them, but not any of the ones that have come from overseas, which we're planning on trying to meet up in 2016, which is going to be fun. But yeah, I mean, it really just depends on who's there. And even if I'm not expecting to meet somebody, I'll end up meeting somebody that I really enjoy meeting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. I'd love to meet my Trekked Out FM family, absolutely, because, you know, like, Chris is overseas in Japan, and you know, Char is in Fargo, and, you know, like, you're in Arizona, and obviously, you're not Trek FM, but obviously, you know, I want to meet everybody, you know, but there's one famous person that I didn't expect to meet that I totally didn't, had a fantastic interaction with, and, like, I went to Wizard World Comic Con, you know, a couple weeks ago, as, you know, as I stated before, and Kevin Conroy was not supposed to be there. And Kevin Conroy has been the voice of Batman for like the past 30 years. He was the voice of Batman in the Batman the Animated Series. In Batman, he was the voice of Bruce Wayne in Batman Beyond. And like 90% of the Batman animated movies and video games that have come out, he's been the voice. He is the voice in my head when I read Batman comics. I was just walking by. I was going kind of fast because I had something, I had an appointment to meet up with. And then I just, out of the corner of my eye, I see him. And that is how devoted I am to trying to be Kevin Conroy, is because he is a voice actor who I know what he looks like. I see him, and the line is relatively long, considering it's one of those side lines. Like, he wasn't considered a major get, but I get in line. And while I'm in line, I meet the sister of Paul Dini, who was a co-creator of Batman the Animated Series and so much else, and she started giving me inside stories. She was such a nice person. She started working with him for a while, and so she had all these insider stories. And then by the time I got up there, she introduced me to Kevin Conroy. We had a great conversation. I told him never to retire, and he said, he's like, good, because I'm not going to. It's like, as long as they'll have me, I'll keep doing it. And I got a photo with him. That's my first photo with a voice actor like that before. And it was just, I didn't expect to meet him. I didn't expect to have this interaction, but he was such a nice person and so amazing. Now, like, when I listen to his voice or like, he's the voice in my head when I read the comics, I'm like, yeah, I met him.
That's awesome. Like, he's actually, yeah, I love him too for the same reasons that you, like, listed off. And I'm really jealous of you right now.
Yeah, he's, like, if you want to see the picture, it's on my Instagram. And it's, seriously, like, there's so many times when I feel like, like they say, never meet your heroes because you're scared. Like, what if they're a jerk, you know, and they taint your view of the stuff that you watch or the stuff that you read or something like that. And thankfully, I've never had that situation. And at Wizard World, I met William Shatner, Patrick Stewart, Jonathan Frakes, and Marina Sirtis. I had a long conversation with Jonathan Frakes, and he's hysterical and awesome. And he was my Star Trek hero, and I'm so glad that I met him.
Now, Tristan, you full well know from doing your Star Trek question of the day that one of my favorite characters of all time in Star Trek is Jadzia Dax from Deep Space Nine. So, actually, last year I got the great opportunity to interview the actress Cherry Farrell on my podcast, and at the end she was like, oh, you guys are coming to Las Vegas? And we're like, oh, yeah, we're coming to Vegas, and... well, then maybe we should meet up together for a drink or something. And I think I just about fell out of my seat. I didn't think it was actually going to happen because, you know, they're always so busy. But no, she took time out of her day and where she came up to our hotel room and sat with us for like half an hour with her parents. I actually got to meet her parents as well.
That's awesome.
And the whole time I'm just sitting there trying to be like you were with Harrison Ford. Like, I'm just happy to be sitting here, but I'm not going to open my mouth for fear for what's going to come out of it.
Right.
And she's talking with one of my other co-hosts who was there at some point, and she stops, she looks at me, she puts her hand on my knee, and she says, you look like you really have something you want to say, and if you don't say it, then you're going to hate yourself for the rest of your life. And so I immediately just, it all came out like vomit. And at the end of it, I was just like, you know, thank you for all the work that you did. You're my favorite female character in all of Star Trek, and, you know, it's such an honor getting to meet you. And she leans in and like takes me in her arms and kisses me. So
wow.
Then this year when I saw her again, I walked up to her and she's like, you know, you look kind of familiar. I don't remember your name, but I think I know you from somewhere. And I kind of reminded her who I was. And actually the other part of the story that I didn't tell is that on the other forum that I'm part of the network on, my handle on that thing is Jadzia is my homegirl. And I told her this the year before and she loved it. So, and then when I reminded her this year who I was, she gets up, she looks at me and she's like, oh, you're the homegirl guy. And then she immediately jumps up from the autograph table and gives me a hug and talks to me like for 5 minutes or so, which she's really not supposed to do. And then I leave the autograph table and a couple of the guys who were standing in line say, how did you manage to pull that off?
Con jealousy. Man, yeah, I remember you telling me that story, and that is such a fantastic story. And it just goes to show that these people, and more often than not, these people respect and honor their fans because without us, they wouldn't be where they are today. If we weren't the ones looking at their stuff, buying their material, they wouldn't be where they are. They wouldn't have the fancy house, the fancy cars, or just their notoriety, even if it's not money-related, just the notoriety. And without us, they don't have the fame, and we're there for them, they're there for us. And
yeah, but I'm always constantly amazed when they go that far out of the way, kind of like what Kevin Conroy did for you.
Yeah, because like you're lucky if you get a shook hand and a nice word, but you got a whole lot more because, you know, she is that great of a person, and she got to share that with you. That's fantastic. Now, you know, not all those circumstances are that great. Not everybody is as cool as that or as nice as that, and sometimes there are some negative aspects to conventions. Now, Chris, can you give me some of your negative memories when it comes to conventions?
I actually have one in particular because it's probably like the only like awful one I have. I'm not gonna say his name because I want to like drag him through the mud. But there's a guy on YouTube that I like looked up to. I don't know. He seemed very like warm and open like on his videos. So like I finally got into a room where one of my friends actually, who's friends with him, made it happen. And I went over to go talk to him, and he completely was like, yeah, that's cool. And like, just didn't even care about anything I was saying. And then these two girls come over, and he's all about the girls. I can't, I'm not gonna mad at you for that. I get that. That's cool. Do your thing. But he like, couldn't give less than a crap that I even like was like, hey, blah, 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 you inspired me to do this, and you changed the way I did my channel. You like, help me like grow like this. And we just kind of, I was trying to like, you know, let him know it. Like, it legitimately made like a big difference and like changed my life in a real way. And he just didn't care. But I watched him interact with the girls, and he was like, oh yeah, what's up, blah, blah, blah. He like sat like all the way into it. And I was just like, that kind of sucks, man. Like, I like really looked up to you. And I mean, it like soured it for me, because from that point forward, when I watched his videos, I just didn't feel like he was being genuine. Like, it was an act. And so I talked to other people about it, and they were like, yeah, that's all he is. Like, that's who he is. He's never, he's like on when he's on camera, but he's, you know, it's just, it kind of sucked. But that's probably the only really, really bad experience I've ever had at a con. Everything else has been pretty good. Everybody else has been pretty awesome. Just to sprinkle in a little bit of positivity into it. I met Jason David Frank, who played the Green Ranger, Tommy on Power Rangers. And he is like one of the most amazing people I've ever met in my life, like just in general. But
really,
someone else take he's well found this. It's random. Like, so he's a Christian. He makes T-shirts. He sells this series called like Jesus Didn't Tap. he also does UFC fighting, and he just trains people in martial arts. He you can like pay to come fly out and hang out with him, and he'll like give you like a session. He does a lot of charity work. Like, if you can follow him on Facebook, he has one of the best Facebooks like of all time, like just to follow and see stuff and be inspired. And he's just a really, really, really cool person. Like, I was shocked, because I was just kind of like, oh yeah, blah blah, talking Power Rangers, whatever, blah blah. But he gives back to the fans. Like, he's still very active in the Power Ranger world, and it's just, he's a great, great person.
I like that. I like that you. I like that you put that positive spin. You're like, I like that you gave us a negative, even though we're in the negative segment. And then you're like, you know what? That happened, but this also happened. And that's the way to look at it, definitely, because you don't want to get a sour taste in your mouth when it comes to conventions. And man, one bad interaction out of 32 conventions, that's fantastic. I doubt anybody else has that running, because that's great to hear.
You put a lot of money and time into it. I feel like, if you come away with it negatively, then like, you're kind of asking to do that. Like, I had that one thing, and I was like, okay, that part sucked, but the rest of it was like, still, again, one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had, just in general. So,
yeah. See, with me, like, since I've only been to two, I haven't had that much opportunity to have negative interactions. And when I've been at the con, everything has been fantastic, and everybody's been great. Every fan I've met, every notable person that I've met has been awesome. I guess the only negative thing that has been with me was like, it was my first con. I didn't know what to buy or what not to buy or things like that. And so I wanted to get an autograph, and I wanted to get a few. And so this one was through Creation Entertainment. And a lot of people know about the negative connotation surrounding Creation Entertainment. And I remember I was like, I just didn't know. Like, I didn't know all the ins and outs. I didn't know what certain charges meant. And so I was actually trying to talk to someone, and via email or via chat, I can't remember. And like, they were charging me, I think, like $60 for handling and processing of a digital ticket that was just emailed to me. Like, I bought two, and they charged me for each one. I asked them, I said, I was like, hey, I bought these two at the same time. Why am I being charged handling fee for both? They sent me this long explanation, and it was obviously a form letter. And so I tried to talk to somebody else, and then I got a hold of somebody else, and they sent me the exact same form letter. And so all I wanted was some human interaction for explanation. Like, I wasn't even disputing the charges. I just wanted some explanation. Like, with Wizarding World, it was a completely different experience from Creation Entertainment. And they had much more reasonable charges and explanation for each one. Nothing was out of nowhere. There was no handling fees or processing fees or shipping fees for something that was digital and emailed. And so that was pretty much my only negative con experience, was these crazy, ridiculous charges with Creation Entertainment. Now, Matt, you were kind of nodding your head. What would you say your negative experiences were at a convention so far?
Pretty much the exact same as yours, because the Vegas Star Trek convention is Creation Entertainment as well. So the first year I was going, I was like, why the hell am I being charged for $12 for a handling fee that's emailed to me? Like, you know, you it's just like you really went through that much work to email it to me that I need to pay you an extra $12 on top of the $150 that I'm already paying you for the ticket. So, yeah, that's ridiculous. And the people that they actually have at the conventions are, well, there's this one woman who's always at the Las Vegas convention who's something else. I won't say what she is because this is a family-friendly podcast. But, you know, they're not really helpful for new people. I got through my very first Vegas convention experience because of the other people who were veterans that were much nicer and helped me out. But like you, I just haven't been to enough conventions to have a truly negative experience. Every star that I've met, even if it's just a very brief interaction, has always been very friendly and positive. And nothing I said regret saying or doing at the time. So, you know, there's that aspect to it. I hope it stays that way. I know it probably won't. There's just, you know, random chance that you're going to run into someone that disappoints you, but so far so good.
Yeah, it's or you could have a running tally like Chris Sanders over here and have 32 conventions and only one negative interaction. But I know exactly who you're talking about the type of people, Matt, you know, that run Creation. It's just like, oh, do you really want to be there? I don't think you do. But one thing that we definitely need to talk about while we're still in the negative side, and this is kind of a negative and a positive, because it's a positive because it shows you how great things went, but it's a negative because this is how you have to feel, or how a lot of people feel after the fact. And this, Chris, this is something that you brought up before we started the podcast, and that's convention depression, which is a real thing. And you are not the only person I've heard talk about it. I've heard lots of other people talk about it on other podcasts, and I've had a lot of friends discuss it. So, Chris, can you describe it to the listeners who may not know what that is?
So I call it post-con depression. It's basically like you readjusting to being in the real world, because normally the conventions are like up to 3 days. Some people go for one day, but I tend to to be the entire weekend out, and I would like, you know, get a hotel and hang out there and just be like immersed in the culture. And so it's basically a feeling where you just don't feel right in the real world, because you no longer have those people around you constantly. They're reaffirming your jokes. People, they get your references. Everywhere you go, there's something new and nerdy and like geeky to get into. It's like a nerd heaven or utopia, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so you're now back in that world where it's like you're sitting at your desk at work and you don't really want to work, because you kind of want to like go and run to a panel about something that you love, or learn this new thing that you, you know, can pick up from somebody else that knows it better than you from like the nerd world. Or, you know, you're talking to your other friends and your other friends just don't get it like your like nerd friends get it. It's a shock to your system to have to readjust to being back in the swing of your normal life when you had like this amazing thing happen over the course of the last like 3 days.
This isn't just like, oh, we don't get to play anymore, and so we're sad because we don't get to play. It's like, no, we have, for nerds like us, geeks like us, whatever you want to call us, before it was cool to be a nerd, before black rim glasses were in fashion, before all of this new wave happened, and just in the past couple of years, it was not always fashionable or cool to be a nerd. It was sometimes very hurtful, and you were considered weird or an outcast, or, you know, just the weird kid in the corner who's reading his comic books and his or her comic books. And so with the fact that we, as a general rule, now Grace, there's exceptions to every rule, but as a general rule, you can say like nerds have had a hard time socializing. Nerds have had a hard time finding a group that's their own. And so that's why we have conventions in the first place. And to have that shock of being surrounded by stuff that you love and people that you love 24/7, then, you know, smash cut to a stark white cubicle where people just straight up don't understand you. Yeah, that's completely, I get that completely, because, you know, not everybody is easygoing. Not some people have anxiety disorders, and I'd say like a lot of nerds tend to do. And, you know, like I've dealt with it throughout my life. And, you know, when you're around your childhood heroes and also people who think like you, act like you, and it's like a drug that's no longer in your system, and you have to go through that withdrawal.
Mm-hmm. Like it's just nice to like to not feel weird. Like you like it's kind of like imagine like the guy who is in high school and like gets picked on, which that was me. You get picked on, all this stuff, and then you go to a convention and all of a sudden like you're cool, like in that relative space, obviously.
Yeah,
and it's just like you can be like your full version of yourself and not feel bad about it. Like, even now, I still have friends who, like, think all the nerd stuff I do is weird. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool, whatever, you know, think what you think. I'm still going to do myself. I'm not going to change. But it's like, when I go to those conventions, I'm like getting choked up right now. It's just like the best thing about your life in that moment. Like, obviously, you know, you have other things that like make it better, and it's awesome to be able to share with other people, but just being able to be there with, like you said, like-minded people is just, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny because it's funny that you said, like, you know, like like-minded people, and when you're around people who just get it. Like, there was a time at you know, not too long ago when Trek.fm, the podcasting network that I'm a part of, we beat out NPR's TV and Film on iTunes. We were number one in TV and Film in iTunes. And I was just on cloud nine when I found that out. I woke up and got a text from our CEO, and I was just like, wow, this is just amazing. Who thought this would have happened? And I go to work, and I share it with a few of my friends at work who you know, like me and appreciate me. And they're like, oh, that's fantastic. What's a podcast? Like, that's that thing that's like radio, right? And I'm just like, oh, geez, man, come on. You know, it's just, it's this stark reality where you're like, if I was surrounded by other podcasters or other nerds, they would be like, they would be shaking my hand, lifting me on a chair like it was a Jewish wedding. And it's just, no, like the people just don't get it. Matt, what have you had any kind of post-con depression to deal with?
Oh, for sure. Every year. And at this Vegas convention, especially these last couple of years, because these last couple of years, my other co-host from Arizona has come up with me and just has stayed in the same hotel room. But he always ends up having to leave earlier than I have to leave. So we're like sharing a hotel room for more than a few days and just staying up till 3 a.m. and just nerding out about everything. And then all of a sudden, the last day that I'm there, it's like back to an empty room, and it's kind of like the perfect symbol for the end of the convention, the end of the experience. So yeah, I get that quite a bit at the end of each convention. And I think actually what helped this year especially was when I came home, I took the next day off of work just so that I could get adjusted back into real life. And I think that certainly helped, but I know everybody can't do that.
No, Matt, like that's actually a really good point. I've had to do that too. I've had to just like decide to take off from work. I was like, you know what? I need to like readjust a little bit and just kind of ease myself back into real life. Yeah, that's probably a really good tip. Like, you need a day to come down from the convention high because it's totally a thing. And I think one thing I didn't mention earlier is that Trishan, you brought this up earlier. You have your friends that you only see at conventions, and it's like a reunion to a degree of getting to see those people all over again. And I think that makes it even harder to like pull away, because it's like these are your people that like probably be your best friends if they live near you. A lot of people I know like come from Texas, come from New York, come from like all these places from like, you know, all over the world to come together for that convention, and you only see them during that year or during that that con, and it's like ripping out a part of your heart to like have to leave those people again.
Now, you guys were you guys gave some great advice for newcomers, and you talked about taking a day off from work. And if not everybody can do that, like you said, but if you can, that's definitely a good advice, because not everybody is aware of con depression. So if this is your first time going to a convention and experiencing these things, you may not expect it to hit you as hard as it might. And so you might need that day to adjust. So if you can take off work for one day, do it. Now, let's talk about that. Like, we're rounding third on the podcast on this episode, so let's talk about some advice for newcomers. Like, as I wish I talked to a few more people than I did about going to a con for the first time. Now, Chris, obviously, you being the reigning expert of conventions here, what is some advice that you have for people who've never been before?
I always say this: bring a book bag and like pack up the essentials of like snacks, because normally at conventions, the food is expensive. Like, it's, you know, it's like at like a baseball game or something like that, and you check up the prices. So I try to bring like, you know, Nutri-Grain bars or something like that. Plenty of water, wear comfortable shoes because you're going to be walking a lot. So make sure you're wearing good gym shoes. In your book bag, keep, I say like a Game Boy or a pack of cards or something that you can like socialize with other people with. Cause I think that like, that's probably the most important thing, is like not to be sitting there staring at your phone, because you can do that any other time. When you're at a convention, be there for the people and the culture and try to like soak that in as much as possible. I guess the other bit of advice I would say is just go in with a very open mind and be ready to like try to experience something new and nerdy that you maybe you didn't like before. Because I'm not a tabletop gamer at all, and a lot of people were into that. And so I went to PAX East last year, and my entire goal then was to try to like learn something new about a part of the nerd culture I didn't know before. And I got into tabletop gaming that way, and it was just like the best thing I could have done.
Matt, how about you?
Well, going back to what we were saying earlier about nerds having some social anxiety and that sort of thing, one of the best things that I've experienced at my convention is the post-convention hangouts. And I would say this to newcomers. If you're going there and you're trying to meet up with a group of people, or if you just happen to meet a group of people while you're there, don't let the end of the convention period of the day be the last interaction that you have, because I'll tell you the best times that I've had at these conventions, I mean, walking around and looking at the merchandise, getting autographs and hearing the talks is great, but the best times I've ever had at these conventions was the post-convention hangout, where me and a group of my friends who specifically met up there will just, I mean, we'll go out of the hotel. It's in Las Vegas, so we'll go to the strip. We'll have a nice dinner. We'll just hang out for hours and hours and hours and talk and drink if that's your thing or whatever. But you know what I mean. It's just the social interaction is even more priceless than the convention experience itself. So that would be my advice, which is continue to be social post the convention experience, the convention period for the day.
I like that. I like that. Don't let the end of the convention be the end of the convention. I like that. It's one thing with me, well, multiple things with me, is that I was, you know, I wasn't worried about interacting with people. I wasn't worried about meeting these stars or these notable people. I was really worried about the logistics, like where am I supposed to park? Where am I supposed to walk to? What line am I supposed to be in? Do I have the right path? I just kept freaking out about that little stuff, the minutiae, like I said, just the logistics of it. And so do as much research as you can beforehand. When you go online, if you can't figure out their website, ask somebody who's gone before online. Ask a friend of yours. If you don't have any friends that have gone before, try to get a hold of someone on the company. It's their job to help you out, even if sometimes they don't want to. And if you are going to go for like Chris, you talked about earlier, about some people go for one day, some people go all weekend. If you plan on going all weekend, get in early and try to get the weekend pass. It's cheaper. Don't just buy a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday ticket. Try to buy a weekend pass, and they go by quick because it is cheaper that way. And also realize that there are things that cost extra inside. Just because you bought a Sunday ticket doesn't mean that you can just go into an autograph line and buy an autograph. Sometimes you can. Sometimes you can just go online and say like, oh yeah, it's $40. Here's $40. But sometimes you have to buy it ahead of time. Figure out who you have to buy ahead of time and who you don't. That's usually easily accessible on the website. Also, if you aren't sure what line you're supposed to be in, don't rely on one person's opinion about what line you're supposed to be in. Ask multiple people. I say ask three people who have a designated badge or volunteer t-shirt on, because I could have gotten into a lot of events a lot sooner if I just got multiple people's opinions about where the line started and where it was going. And my final bit of pontificating is set a budget and stick to it, because it is very, 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 very easy to go over. And there's so much to buy and there's so much cool stuff, because it's not just autographs. It's not just panels, and it's not just meeting new people. There's tons and tons of memorabilia and artwork that is somewhat reasonably priced and some overpriced. And you're already spending a lot of money just to get in the door.
It's true. And I have that problem, because like I will go to a convention and like on my wall right now, everything I have is from conventions. So I get posters, I get t-shirts, and it's like really easy to overspend on that kind of stuff. And it's like really, yeah, I had to start telling myself, when you go to a convention, you have a minimum, and this is me being very, very reasonable, a minimum of $200 you can spend over the weekend.
Right.
Like, no more than that, and that's it. I just have to cut myself off, because I will buy everything.
I had the exact same number over the weekend, like when I was there. It's just like just $200 of memorabilia and extra stuff, because when I went there, I bought two autographs just a couple of weeks ago for WizardCon. Mm-hmm. I bought Shatner and I bought Stewart, and I was like, okay, that's all that I'm going to spend for autograph money, because that'll be the most expensive. But then no one told me that the entire TNG cast of Star Trek was going to be there and signing autographs, and you could just give them cash for the autographs. And I'm like, well, crap, all of them are there. That's eight extra signatures if I wanted to. And then I said, no, Tristan, you're only going to get two extra, And that's it. I mean, it's now, granted, if you have the money, spend it. But the thing is, a lot of us don't have the money, so a budget is key. Now, I think this was a lot of fun. I think we talked about the good things about cons, the bad things, con depression, and also advice to newcomers. Now, one thing that you can always do, if you have questions, you can contact us. You can go to contact@thenerdparty.com to send us an email. You can find me on Twitter @TheInsaneRobin. Matt, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter @mhansen0207, H-A-N-S-E-N.
And Chris, where can we find you? There's multiple places we can find you.
We'll just stick with YouTube. We'll do youtube.com/csandreas, C-S-A-N-Dreas, or just Chris Sanders if you type it in YouTube. Also, because I'm smart, I bought the domain name nerdyvideos.com, so if you type that in any browser, you can get to me pretty immediately.
Fantastic. See, that is smart. And that's what we did, too. Like, the first thing that we did, even before we started the podcast, is we bought thenerdparty.com. Chris, you are massive on YouTube. You have almost 30,000 subscribers on YouTube. So once again, people, if you don't subscribe to him, go to all of the stuff that he said. Go to his YouTube channel and subscribe. You won't be sorry. Chris, thank you so much for being a part of the Nerd Party.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, dude. I hope I can come back. This is like a lot of fun. I want to be on a podcast for a while now. I've been on like two other ones, but this has been like probably one of the more engaging ones I've been in. I'm loving this.
Thank you so much for being a part of it, and we're glad to have you. And definitely, we will have you on again. So, thank you, everybody. I'm Tristan Riddell.
I'm Matt Hansen.
And thank you for listening to the Nerd Party.
Coming up next week.
Clear. 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 You forgot the first rule of remakes, Jill. Don't f*** with the original.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.
Welcome to Nerd Party.
Time to say goodnight to inefficient night storage heaters. Bulky, unattractive, with no precise control, leaving you boiling in the morning and rather chilly at night. So tune in to Fisher Future Heat. Home heating systems that give you a steady, controllable supply of heat 24 hours a day. Search Fisher Future Heat today. Fisher Future Heat. The future is electric.